Sahanao bhunaktu sahaviryankaravavahai tejasvinavahitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so page 6. Adikarna 7. Vaishvanara is Brahman. Vaishvanara Adikaranam. Sutra reference 1225 through 33. Adikarna Prakashika. Adikarna 7 says that the Atma, Vaishvanara, mentioned in the Chandogya Upanishad 5-9, is Brahman. Summary of Adikarna 7. Vishaya, the Chandogya Upanishad says, who is the Atma? Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? 5-11-1. You know about Vaishvanara. Please describe him. 5-11-6. One who meditates on Vaishvanara, who is the size of the distance between the thumb and the forefinger, and who is present in all worlds, in all elements, and in all hearts, eats food and is nourished. 5.18.1. Heaven is the head of Vaishvanara. The sun is his eye. The wind is his breath. The sky is his body. The oceans are his bladder. The earth is his feet. The sacrificial arena is his chest. The sacrificial grass is his head. The Garhapatya fire is his heart. The Anvaharya Pachana fire is his mind. And the Ahavaniya fire is his mouth. 5.18.12.
The sacrificial
grass
should be his hair,
right?
Not
head. Maybe, may not be. It could be his hair. It could be also. You'd have to look at the Sanskrit. You know, because many of these things overlap. Does that make sense? See, because you're dealing with Vedic Sanskrit. You're not dealing with classical.
Yeah, because the head is described 2 times.
The head could be described many times. It's got thousands.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, you have to be able to see that it also works that way. But it may be the other way. But unless you look at the Sanskrit, then don't make your conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, see, what happens because you're used to classical Sanskrit, then you expect it to be more kind of logical in the poetic sense.
Mm-hmm.
But if you apply that to the Vedic, it may not work so well for you. And then you'll be grumpy. Okay? Because the Veda won't be. Veda is fine. Like that. Shamshaya. Is the Vaishvanara the fire of digestion, the demigod Agni, the fire element, O Lord Vishnu? Purva Paksha. The word Vaishvanara is commonly used in all these four meanings, so its meaning in this passage is unclear. Right, so now we've gotten to the point where they're unclear.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to the point where, no, it's this. They've gotten to the point where it's unclear, so they're softening up a bit.
Making some headway.
Yeah, making some headway. Yes. Siddhanta. The conclusion follows. Vaishvanara, Sadharana, Shabda Vishesha. The ambiguous word Vaishvanara in this passage refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because the qualities described here are appropriate for the Lord, right? Because they've described the universal form. So that's appropriate for the Lord. It's not appropriate for the fire of digestion, the demigod Agni, the fire element. So only Lord Vishnu it matches. Sutra 1225. Vaishvanara sadhana shabda visheshata. Vaishvarana. Sadharana, common. Shabda, word, viseshat, because of the distinction. The word refers to Vishnu because words mentioned particularize the general meaning of Vaishvanara. Sutra Prakashika. Although Vaishvanara does have a multitude of meanings, here it refers to Lord Vishnu. There are many reasons for this. The descriptions match. Heaven is his head, Atma, Brahman, negator of sins. The result of worship match. And due to etymology of the word, Vishva, all, Nara, human beings. So he's giving that basis in everything. It's not that, because we understand is that it's Vishnu who is the power of digestion. He is the potency of Agni. He is the potency. He is the fire element. Right, so all those, that is Krishna. But the point is how it's being described here is describing him in his original form. And how that potency is what pervades, rather than just the specifics of how he's the fire of digestion. Right? He's the fire of digestion because your health depends upon that. Fire of digestion is proper, your health is good. Fire is not good, you won't be healthy. Right? So health depends upon him, so he is the essence. Right? So from that aspect, then we're dealing with him. Right? Mm-hmm. So, but the descriptions that are made here about how he's the whole universe, that won't fit with Vaishvanara. That'll fit with Vishnu, who is Vaishvanara. Yeah? Govindabhasya, Vishaya. Ko nu atma kim brahmeti. Chandogya Upanishad 5.11.1. You know about the atma, Vaishvanara. Please describe him. Chandogya Upanishad 5.11.6. One who meditates on the Atma, Vaishvanara, who is limitless but the size of the distance between the thumb and the forefinger, eats food in all worlds, in all elements, and all hearts. Suteja, heaven is the head of Vaishvanara. Vishwarupa, sun is his eye. Pritag Vartma, air is his prana. Bahula, ether is his trunk. Rayi, water is his abdomen. The earth is his feet. The sacrificial altar is his chest. The sacrificial grass is his hair. The Garhapatya fire is his heart. The Anavaharyapachana fire is his mind. And the Ahavaniya fire is his mouth. Chandogya Upanishad 5.18.1-2. Right, so here he's eating, but he eats food in all worlds and all, you know, like that. So who is eating in all worlds? Right? It means Vaishvanara is there, but where does that potency come that he's in all worlds? Because he's in the digestion of the living entity. That means the living entities in all 14 worlds are digesting because of Vaishvanara. So it's him, it's Vishnu who's being described. Right? Because Vaishvanara, you describe how he's in one body and how he's digesting the food. But when you're talking about all bodies, then that means Vishnu. So that's why you see about he who lives in the heart. You know about Atma, Vaishvanara. So Atma has already been described as Vishnu, right? Because before there's the confusion, is Atma the Lord or is he the Jiva? Right? So therefore Param Atma and Jivatma. So Jivatma is in one body, Param Atma is in all bodies. So when we say in all worlds, it must mean Param Atma. Does that make sense? So that's his whole point he's making. The context, the way it's used, all these, then it points to the Lord. Yeah. Shamshaya. The doubt is this. Is the Vaishvanara the fire of digestion, the Devata Agni, the element fire, or Vishnu? Purva Paksha. Since the word is used for all these four, it is inconclusive which one it is. Siddhanta. Conclusion is as follows. Vaishvanara, Sadharana, Shabda Visheshat. The word refers to Vishnu because the words mentioned particularize the general meaning of Vaishvanara. Vaishvanara is Vishnu alone. Why? Because of descriptive words that apply only to the Lord. Sadharana Shabda Visheshat. The meaning is this. Even though the word Vaishvanara is used for all four objects, in this passage it is described in conjunction with the words such as heaven and head, which apply to Vishnu only. By this one can understand that Vishnu is meant. The beginning of the passage mentions Atma and Brahman, Ko nu Atma kim brahmeti. These words also indicate that Vishnu is Vaishvanara. The result of knowing Vaishvanara at the end of the passage, sins are burned up like a reed. Yate shika tulam. It is also the result ascribed only to knowing Vishnu. Etymologically, the word Vaishvanara means Vishnu, for it is composed of Vishva, all, and Nara, men, which means he was the shelter of all men. Therefore, Vaishvanara refers to Vishnu. So, yes?
Who would argue against this conclusion, and why?
The Mayavadis, they will, because the whole idea is they're trying to present that the jiva is equal to the Lord.
So how does saying that this word Vaishvarana does not indicate Vishnu, how does that promote their argument?
Because it elevates the jiva up to a higher level. So what they're trying to do is, Brahman stays in what position he's at. So that's, everything's Brahman. They say that, we say that, we're not, well, there's not a problem. Difficulty comes as they're saying that Vishnu, in the mode of goodness, which they take it, he has a material form. That form and the jiva are non-different. It means the jiva can get to that platform. Because if Brahman takes on this form as Vishnu, the jiva can get to that position. Right, so that's why they'll say that they're Narayan. They're trying to elevate themselves up to there. So where Brahman comes down to that position, we can get up to that position. So in that way, then we're equal. You know, and then when that, then because that aspect merges back into Brahman, we can merge back into Brahman and become Brahman. So that's the stepping stone, how they're going to become the Supreme. Right. Yeah, so they're just attached to that concept. You know, it's just like a karmi is attached to the idea of sense gratification, or you could say gain and safety. Because whenever you see, is like when we're discussing these points come up, then that becomes very prominent. Right? It means someone wants to know, okay, I'm taking shelter of Krishna, I'm doing everything, but will there be gain and safety? You know, so that always comes up. So there'll be the interpretation of everything according to that. So in the same way, the jnanis, they'll interpret everything connected with that the Atma comes to the supreme platform. That's their attachment. The one attachment, I want to be God. The other was, I want to enjoy like God. That's the two, you know, so everybody has both. But it's just when I'm the controller is more prominent, they're a jnani, or an impersonalist. When I'm the enjoyer is more prominent, then they're a karmi. Does that make sense? But otherwise, they're both there, because they want to enjoy being God, so it's still, you know, the same position. So, yeah?
Maharaj?
Yes?
But even Bhagavad Gita describes, Krishna says that Aham Vaishvanara Bhutva. So don't they consider the words of Bhagavad Gita, Mayavadis? Because Vaishvanara is Krishna only. So in that sense,
yes, but it's that Vaishvanara goes back to Krishna, not that Krishna is limited to Vaishvanara. Mm. So Vaishvanara is one aspect of
Krishna.
Yeah. Mm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. They're getting confused because they're just going by words. That's the whole thing, is that when words are all you're working with, then it's easier to get confused. If you're working on what the principles are meant by the words. I mean, the words have their root meaning. That's the advantage of Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. But that the actual purpose of the word. In other words, you say something, but you say it with a particular purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just like, let's say, someone says something and they mean one thing, but you take it another way and get upset. Okay? But then you complain about that. They say, well, that's not what I meant. I meant this. But you go by the words. But the point is the Vedas being perfect, they don't have that problem. So we didn't misuse the words. The words are perfect. It's that our interpretation of them may not be perfect because of our conditioning, our particular attachments. Does that make sense? Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Vaishvarana is a name of the Supreme Lord, meaning the shelter of all men. Thus, the Vedic path for the fire worship is aimed at the Supreme Lord Narayana. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.24. O King, when such a mystic passes over the Milky Way by the illuminating Sushumna to reach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, he goes first to Vaishvanara, the planet of the deity of fire, wherein he becomes completely cleansed of all contaminations, and thereafter he still goes higher to the circle of Shishumara to relate with Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. Right? So the whole concept of Vaishvanara is to become purified so that we can serve the Lord. Right? So that's the point, is that by fire we are purified. Right? So even in the digestion, the whole idea is we should be taking yajna shishta, or that which is the remnants of sacrifice. And through that application of Vaishvanara, we're becoming purified. Right? So when people eat all kinds of nonsense, then they're getting less purified. Right? So the actual purpose is we're getting purified. So it's not just we eat what we want, we eat what we should.
So it's the reaction from what they're eating that we're purified in the end.
Yes, instead of getting purified by what they eat, they get purified by the reaction to what they eat. Yes, but that only brings them back to the neutral point. Yeah, it doesn't absolutely. Take it's not progressive. Yes.
So that's why when you do the fire sacrifice, you're making an offering, and then what's left is the pure aspect of that offering.
Yes, and at the same, you have that, and also that the fire is what purifies. So through the fire, you're being purified of impure consciousness, because it's focused on Narayan. So someone who does a fire sacrifice focusing on Narayana, he'll be properly purified. While someone who performs the sacrifice based on something else for karma and jnana, then it's elevating means within the mundane sphere that they're functioning, but it's not elevating them beyond. See, there's one thing of being purified within the material context, and there's the other being purified of the material context. So devotees, they're being purified of the material context. So they get the devotional platform. But because you're performing mechanical yajna, then you're going to get the results of that yajna. So they get the material benefit. But that's not their purpose. And because they're getting Krishna consciousness, they're being liberated from material nature. So the devotee gets the benefits of karma and jnana without even endeavoring for it. Right? While the materialists, they have to work very hard for those. And if there's some imperfection in the ritual itself, the mechanics, they don't get the benefit. While the devotee, even if there's an imperfection, he gets the benefit because it's about Krishna. Is that?
Yeah, so there's like when you're offering it to Vishnu or Krishna, then there's like a conscious link.
Yes.
That goes beyond. And then if it's just without that, then it's like the lower, because fire is the pure material. So it purifies with the lower modes, and you can put them in the mode of goodness.
Yes, that's it. It'll just bring them up. They only get the benefit of that. Okay. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just like, let's say, someone takes a car, drives it from point A to point B, right? So now the devotee, in driving to that point B, and point A, he's doing service, he's going to point B to do more service. So in between, he's riding in the car, right? So he's getting the benefits of riding in the car and getting somewhere, but the point is it's about serving the Lord. While someone else may just go out for a drive in the car, and so they'll have enjoyed the drive, but they've gotten nowhere. Right? That's the whole point. You know, so they're just as they're in a better mundane place. They were grumpy, they go out for a drive, now they feel better, but they're still just as mundane. They haven't actually attained anything.
They have to turn around and go back home.
Yes, that's the whole problem. Yes. So. Yeah. You know how you say, back down from the hills, back down to the smog in the flat land. Okay. Sutra 1226. Smara Yamanam. Anumanam syad iti, smaryamanam. Described in the Smriti Shastra, anumanam, inference, syad is, iti thus. Vaishvanara is Vishnu because one can infer the same from Smriti passages. Sutra Prakashika. In addition to the above reasons, Smriti Shastras like Bhagavad Gita also refer to Vishnu as Vaishvanara. Shri Govinda Bhashya. The word iti denotes a reason. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha. Becoming Vaishvarana, I take shelter in the bodies of all beings. Bhagavad Gita 15.4. In this Smriti passage, Vaishvanara is identified with Vishnu. Thus one may infer that the Vaishvanara Vidya is in reference to Vishnu. Because of this, Vaishvanara is Vishnu. Right? So, he's asking about Vaishvanara Vidya. And it's been shown that Vaishvanara is Vishnu, so therefore the Vaishvanara Vidya is meaning Vishnu. So, doesn't work. Means the Lord, means they're identifying Vaishvanara with Vishnu. Right? So, A is Vaishvanara, C is Vishnu. Now, Vaishvanara Vidya, which is B, then we'll say Vaishvanara and Vaishvanara Vidya are connected. But by Vaishvanara Vidya, because you're identifying with Vishnu, then is connected with C. So B equals C, Vaishvanara Vidya equals Vishnu, which is C. So B equals C, and how you say? Does that make sense? And Vaishvanara with A and B are connected, so that means A and C are equal.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what you're trying to do. Because it's taking Vishnu saying, I am Vaishvanara.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it means he has all these other qualities as he's mentioned. Vaishvanara is one of them. Because he's describing the universal form.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Vaishvanara is the expansion of the supersoul within the abdominal cavity. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.18. Among the followers of the methods set forth by great sages, those with less refined vision worship the Supreme as present in the region of the abdomen. While the Arunis worship him as present in the heart, in the subtle center from which all pranic channels emanate. From there, O unlimited Lord, these worshippers raise their consciousness upward to the top of their head, where they can perceive you directly. Then, passing through the top of the head towards the supreme destination, they reach that place of which they will never again fall to this world, into the mouth of death. Footnote 2. The following purport to this verse is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The manifestation of Paramatma in the heart is very subtle and difficult to perceive, and thus only advanced yogis can realize him there. Neophyte meditators often practice focusing on Supersoul's secondary presence in one of the lower centers of vital energy, such as the Muladhara chakra at the base of the spine, the Svadhisthana chakra in the area of the navel, or the Manipura chakra in the abdomen. Lord Krishna refers to this expansion as Paramatma in the abdominal chakra as follows. I am the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities, and I join with the life air, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of food. Bhagavad Gita 15.4.14. This udara in this verse refers to the Paramatma in the form of Vaishvanara, situated in the stomach region, who bestows Kriya Shakti. Lord, because Manipura chakra, that's where all the energy is. It's not the basis of the energy, it's the application of the energy. Right? The basis of the energy will be in the Svadhisthana chakra. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But then it will come up to there because that's the conceptual. It's generic. Then it comes to there, then it's specific.
And Muladhara chakra?
Sorry?
Muladhara chakra.
Mula, that's the bottom. That will be, how you say, your very generic. You know, the means anything can happen. You know, and then it goes into more specific. And here, what we're talking about, then energy, but general energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it goes into specific energy. So in other words, it's becoming more specific. Because then when it goes to the next chakra, then it's how that energy will be applied.
Mm-hmm.
Right, through which forms,
mm-hmm.
then it will come to being able to be spoken about.
Yeah.
So
the Vaikari that we spoke last time is similar.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But here, his point is the Lord in the heart is the main of the forms of Paramatma. So a lower form will be that him as Vaishvanara as digestion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that will be an expansion of. So he is all the seven chakras, right? But his main situation is that in the heart. But if you're going to attain him, means as the goal, that will be the Brahma Rundra. Right? Mm-hmm. That'll be at the top. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Lord Vaishvarana presides over digestion and in general bestows the capacity of mobility on animals, humans, and demigods. In the judgment of the Shrutis, speaking in this verse, those who limit their meditation to this form of the Lord are less intelligent. Kurpa Drisha means literally having eyes clouded by dust, right? Because they're seeing him in that form but not seeing him in the next level. But they're seeing the Lord. That's why Krishna is saying, give up all varieties of dharma, or of all the processes of self-realization, then surrender to Krishna and pure bhakti is the best, because you have all these other ways you can know the Lord. Right? The Vedas give so many aspects. So the devotees will use that in the beginning stage, but the whole point is to try to get to the point of pure bhakti, because when you surrender to the Lord, then everything works very nicely. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur cites several Shruti mantras that echo the words of this verse. Those whose vision is clouded identify Brahman with the abdomen, while the Arunis worship Brahman in the heart. One who is truly Brahman realized travels upwards from the heart to take shelter of the Lord who is manifest at the top of the head. In conclusion, Sridhar Swami prays, let us worship the Supreme Lord who resides in the heart. When mortal beings think of him by the standard procedures established by great sages, meditating upon him in his expansions in the abdomen and other regions of the body, the Lord reciprocates by destroying all fear of death. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.18 purport. Oh, so these are all discussions of prayers by the personified Vedas. Huh? And this says this following purport. This is whose? Do we know?
Yeah, I got confused on that too, because it's not worded in such a way where it seems that that is the purport to that verse. But it could be.
But I'm saying, whose is it? Mm-hmm. Do we know? Is it Prabhupada speaking? Is it Vishwanath? Is it? We've just combined them all.
It looks like the
purport. Oh, okay.
It's 87. But, but it's not clear the way it's worded, but it most likely it's the BBT purport.
Okay. Then you can just say the BBT purport.
Yeah.
You know, because then when we say Prabhupada, we know that, right?
Yeah.
Or what is it? The BBT group, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Interesting that Vaishvanara gives us our mobility.
Yes. Because when you digest...
I lost mine for a while, and I'm always like tuned into that aspect. And, who's giving me the ability to walk?
Yeah, yeah.
When you lose your ability to walk, all of a sudden, you only have one prayer left in life.
Okay. Yeah.
Please let me walk.
Okay. Yeah. So that's Vaishvanara. Yeah. Means mobility comes from that chakra. Potency comes from the one below that. You know, and the basis of the whole thing comes from the Muladhara.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny because the disc that slipped in my back was right at that chakra.
Yes. No, because they're always connected, all these things. It's just that there's what's happening and then there's the mechanics that make it.
Yeah.
You know. But it's actually the, you know, it goes the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, like the motto, they'll say the cause of death is this. No, because the soul left, that was the reaction in the body. Right, you know. So the soul leaves, there's a heart attack. Not that there's a heart attack and the soul leaves. You know, so because the point is people have heart attacks don't die, other people have heart attacks die. It means whatever people die from, there's someone else who doesn't die from it.
I've always found it funny when people say cause of death, heart failure. Yeah, that's kind of what happens when you die.
The heart fails.
Yeah. There's not really an explanation.
Yeah.
Maharaj, how does the Paramatma manifest in the upper chakras?
As the power of speech, as the power of understanding. you know, as the ultimate goal, like this, you know, what's beyond, like this. So it means he, the potency of all these chakras are him. So we'll just generally take it that this chakra has this potency, but it's actually, that's Paramatma. Everything is all, by the descriptions that we're working in now, the point is that everything that's functioning is the Lord. So it's not about the jiva, because we're not trying to perfect being in the material world, we're trying to perfect going beyond. So if we know Krishna is everything, so whatever's of value to us is Krishna, therefore attaining Krishna, that's actually what we're looking for. Right? Those who want to stay in the material world, then they'll look at it, you know, the yoga, and so therefore is this and that, because they want to perfect the material position. So they'll look at the chakras, just, okay, it's got this shape, this color, and this effect, and this and that, but where does that come from? That they never ask. That's why it says, having eyes clouded by dust. It means they're seeing some aspect, here they're seeing some aspect of the Lord that's clouded by dust. What about when they don't even see that Vaishvanara is Vishnu? Then it's even more clouded. But it's pious, it's connected to the Vedic, so it's uplifting. So by doing yoga and all that, they get some benefit, but not what they could get if they understood that it was Vishnu. So from the Vedanta point of view, the only value is seeing everything connected to Vishnu. That changes the whole perspective. Then you can be fully Krishna conscious all the time. Right? Because then you can accommodate the mechanics of the world, but without adjusting on Krishna consciousness. That becomes the difficulty, because we don't connect mechanics with Krishna consciousness. Right? Because it's, okay, God is there, he's all pervasive, but it's not that because of him it's working. We don't make that connection. So we can catch the all-pervading aspect, all potent, all this, but we don't catch that he's the one making it happen. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. When we do that, that's when we get across. Yes.
And does that, in conclusion, then mean that once we understand it, we start performing these things, or we perform them, but within the consciousness of that, all comes from?
Yeah, the second.
So we can keep. Keep
I mean, if they're of value.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not of value, it means, like, let's say someone's doing yoga only for, so that they're fit, so they can be engaged in all kinds of, you know, useless mundane activity. So having come to this understanding, if there's no other purpose than that, they might give it up. But if there's something that is just part of their, what they can do to maintain some basic health and all that, then you can continue. But now,
livelihood, like that's mainly what I'm wondering, because I see the world is giving up all sorts of things, even with livelihood. But as a grihastha, that's kind of not really.
One should be performing one's duties, like that. But the point is are these duties? The duty is that you're performing some occupation that maintains your lifestyle. Now, it may be that the occupation you're doing, if it's also, you, like I say, can be seen in connection with Krishna consciousness, you know, is a basic recommended, then one may continue. If it's something that you find that you're a butcher and now you become Krishna conscious, you might change, you know, you might,
certain aspects.
Yeah, you know, become a barber or something, or join the circus and throw knives, or, you know, something that you can engage your talents, but. You know.
This is just giving a specific example of how to do that, how to connect yoga to devotional service, like the chakras.
Yes, no, because it's talking about people who are engaged in self-realization. That's the discussion. And so it's not so much about yoga, it's about how people are seeing the Paramatma. So those who see him in the heart as the Supreme, you know, as Narayana, that's the best. Those who are seeing him in connection with Vaishvanara, and that's all they see, then that means they're seeing Vishnu, but they're seeing more about the mechanical aspect that he's doing, rather than about his supreme position. Because here's Vaishvanara, of course, he is in all bodies, but that's because he's Paramatma. But they're seeing the specific. Well, if you see Paramatma, then you're going to be looking at how he's all-pervading, how he's all these things, he's the, you know, creator, maintainer, destroyer, you're going to be looking at that greater picture. So that's a higher understanding. And then those who take that up to the top of the head, that's the best position, because then it's about obtaining the Lord. Because you don't take the energy up to the top of the head unless you're planning to going somewhere. Right? And that going somewhere should be Vishnu. Is that okay? Yes.
I just want to say, as far as the chakras go, there's one purport in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada tells us how to get mystic powers.
Okay.
He says you have to raise consciousness to this chakra right here at the throat.
Right.
And then you have to meditate on the golden line on Lord Vishnu's chest.
Uh-huh.
While situated in that chakra, and then the mystic powers will come. That's a one purpose. I always notice it. That's all.
Yeah. So that means that they're not, that's why it mentions that they're taking all the way to the top of the head. Because then they'll get the mystic powers, because the golden line, that's Lakshmi, so that means we're looking for the opulences of the Lord, but in a subtle form. We're not trying to enjoy Lakshmi directly as such, but it's those opulences, because of all the material opulences, those will be considered the greatest. But then you go to the next chakra, and that's the Guru chakra, and so therefore understanding and seeing, being able to understand the position of the soul and the body is different. But then you're trying to get to the topmost where you're attaining the Lord. Like that. So, yes, that's interesting. So.
Anybody's interested in
it. Yeah, anybody's interested. That's what you do. Okay. Anybody's got 10,000 years? Hey, you know. Looks like they're going more for the Prayas than the Shreyas. I mean, the Shreyas. No, yeah, the Prayas than the Shreyas. The immediate benefit rather than the long term. Like that. Okay, Sutra 1227. Shabdadi bhyon ta pratishthanach chaneti chen na tata drisht yupade sha sham bhavat purusha vidham api chainam adhiyate. Shabda, the words, adhibhya, beginning with, anta, within, pratishthanat, because of abiding, cha, and, na, not, iti, thus, chet, if, na, not, tata, thus, drishti, sight, upade, shat, from the teaching, asambhavat, because of being impossible, purusha, a person, vidham, the nature, api, also, cha, and, enam, him, adhiyate, is read. Right? If one argues that the Vaishvanara is the fire of digestion because it is described in many places as the fire dwelling within, the answer is no, because such descriptions of Vaishvanara as the fire in the heart are for the purpose of meditation on Vishnu, and because descriptions of heaven and head are impossible to apply to the digestive fire. Furthermore, other texts describe this fire as having the form of a man. Sutta Prakashika. Now the Sutrakar refutes the idea that Vaishvanara refers to the fire of digestion. Sri Govinda Bhashya, Purva Paksha, Vaishvanara is not Vishnu. For it is said in the text, I am Agnir Vaishvanaraha. The fire is Vaishvanara. It is also said that the heart is the Garhapatya fire. It is situated in the heart and other places as fire, while being designated as three fires. It is also explained in the text that oblations are offered in this fire in the form of offering to the pranas. It is said in other shrutis as well that the fire is situated in the heart. Purushenta pratishtitam veda saptapata brahmana 10.6.1.11. Thus Vaishvanara in this text refers to the digestive fire. Siddhanta, the answer is no. Why? Because such descriptions of Vaishvanara as the fire in the heart are for the purpose of meditation on Vishnu, tata drishti, and because descriptions of heaven and head are impossible to apply to the digestive fire. Moreover, it is said in another shruti that this fire has the shape of a man. Sahyo hyetam evagnim vaishvanaram purusha vidham purushem ta pratishtam veda. He who knows this fire of Vaishvarana with the form of a man, situated within man, conquers death. Saptapada Brahmana 10.6.1.11. That's the
same thing.
Yeah? The same one. Just using it the other way.
In the Mayavadis, only half sutra they took and the remaining, the first part they implemented.
Okay. If one takes the Vaishvara as the digestive fire, it certainly resides within man, but it does not have the shape of a human. Both descriptions, however, apply to Vishnu. But, so you're just saying is that it properly applies, because in Vishnu you describe like this, it all applies to him. With Vaishvara, it doesn't apply, so it's unnatural to try to force a understanding. Okay. Bhagavatam verse reference. Vaishvanara is the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is to be meditated upon as Agni, the internal fire, who has a personal form. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.16.13. Among the demigods, I am Indra, and among the Vasus, I am Agni, the god of fire. I am Vishnu among the sons of Aditi, and among the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Sutra 1.2.28. Ata eva na devata bhutam cha. Ata eva, therefore, na, not, devata, demigod, bhutam, element, cha, and. Because of the reasons mentioned above, Vaishvanara is not the devata, agni, or the element, fire. Sutra Prakashika. This sutra refutes the idea that this fire is the devata, agni, or the element, fire. Shigovindabhasya. Purva Paksha. Because the devata, agni, being endowed with great power, has the heavens as his head, the passage can refer to the devata agni, or the element fire. The following description is found in the Vedas. Yo bhanuna prithivi dhyam utemam atatana rodasi antariksham. Agni, in the form of the sun, is spread throughout through the earth, heaven, and everywhere between. Rigveda 10.88.3. Siddhanta. The answer is no. Why? Because of what has been already stated, ata eva. Vaishvanara is not the devata fire or the element fire. The above mantra quoted is mere praise and not to be taken literally. But it's mere praise of the demigod because he has that potency. Because fire is everywhere. But how is fire everywhere? By Vishnu. But so therefore from the previous discussion about Indra, how when he says Indra is saying worship me, he means Vishnu. Then in this it would be the same principle. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just mere praise for Agni. That's why the offense to the holy name is that to take the descriptions as exaggeration. Because in the Vedas, if we take these descriptions as actually about the demigod, or about the heavenly planets, or about liberation, they are exaggeration, because they don't apply. What they apply to is they apply to Vishnu. Right. So, because it is about Vishnu, therefore, when you're talking about the holy name, you can't think it is how you say exaggeration. Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference: one who meditates upon Vaishvanara as a demigod or a material element is misled. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.7.41. The fire god said, "My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because by your favor I am as luminous as blazing fire, and I accept the offerings mixed with butter and offered in sacrifice. The five kinds of offerings, according to the Yajurveda, are all your different energies, and you are worshipped by five kinds of Vedic hymns. Sacrifice means you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Right, so this is Agni himself saying that it means the Lord. Right? Just like before, Indra is indicating it's the Lord. Right? So when they're nicely Krishna conscious, especially when the Lord is present, then they see themselves in relation to the Lord and their position as by the Lord's grace. They never make that mistake. It's when they're performing their duties and they're not always as Krishna conscious, then sometimes these problems come up. But you see, when they're always with the Lord, then they always see things in the proper light. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. So that means we turn the page, or yes. He just comments.
He just comments.
He just, yeah.
We don't know what he says.
Okay. Fire of the sacrificial fire speaks. That was the end of that one. Yes, okay. Fire of the sacrificial fire speaks. I just carry the offerings in the best sacrifice, but I do not know the truth about you. Because fire of the fire, sacrificial fire speaks. So means he who carries the offerings, that he's known as Jatavedas. He's the one who carries to wherever is the offering meant for. Because the person makes an offering, and they're offering it to different personalities. And so, depending on who it is, he's the one who carries it. He has that potency. But that potency comes from the Lord. Right? So that aspect, so he's relating to the Lord in the form of fire, right, in the yajna. Right? I just carry the offering in the best sacrifice, but I do not know the truth about you. This statement is directed to the sacrificers who think they have knowledge. You are beneficial to the sacrifice. In the Aitareya, the five types of sacrifice are mentioned: Agnihotra, Darsha Purnama, Purnamasa, Chaturmasya, Pashu, and Soma, Satapata Brahmana. You are worshipped by five types of mantra. Shruti says there is the four-syllable mantra, Ashravaya, the four-syllable mantra, Astu Sha, Shrau Shat, the two-syllable mantra, Yaja, the five-syllable mantra, Ye, Yaja Mahe, and the two-syllable mantra, Vashat, Satapata Brahmana, 12.3.3.3. Smriti says, may Vishnu be pleased with me by the four-syllable mantra, the four-syllable mantra, the two-syllable mantra, the five-syllable mantra, and the two-syllable mantra, Sardartha Darshani, 4.7.41. Right, so, means the details of anything are all there. Sometimes we say, oh, but how is this? It's there. But the point is now what are you going to do with it? Okay, shrau shot. Knock yourself out. Right? So that's the whole point, is the details of everything are there. There's nothing that's not in the Veda. That's why we say knowledge is the Veda. All other knowledge that's actually in line with the laws of nature is also Veda. It's just its source may not be understood. Mm-hmm. So any knowledge in the world that people may have, and it's actually applicable, you can do something with it, it's because it's Veda. But the aspects of it that aren't connected to the Veda, that aren't real, that's why there's problems in application. Yes?
I find it kind of interesting that this all culminates in chanting mantra.
Yes.
Yeah, especially the mantras of God as the fire of the moon.
Yes. No, but it's all about mantra. That's why what's happening is in the four ages that you're doing yoga and chanting mantra. You're doing yajna and chanting mantra. You're doing deity worship and chanting mantra. But because yoga, yajna, and deity worship, the pancharatra, require some good qualifications in the mode of goodness, that in Kali Yuga people won't have that, so they won't be able to perform the secondary aspects. So they're just given the name itself. Right? And then you have to have a name that you can chant not having the qualifications. Because Gayatris, these others, they require qualifications, they require initiation to have any effect at all. Right? It means a common person on the street chants Gayatri mantra, like he'll get no benefit. But if he chants Hare Krishna, he'll get benefit. Therefore, then, of names, then they're given the top name, which is beyond material qualifications, like that. So the holy name is, so we just take, oh, it's a Hare Krishna mantra, so when we go preaching and all that, then, you know, we might throw in a Ganesh one or a Shiva one, because, you know, I wouldn't want to look like we're too biased and that we're too much into, you know, Hare Krishna kind of stuff, you know, even though the Karmis, you know, have no problem with it, but we have problem with it. But the point is no, we don't understand the position of it. It already contains everything else. Why would you want to go with anything else? Because we're chanting, because we're thinking, oh, I'm chanting the Ganesh mantra, because then, you know, then, okay, we're connecting him to something Vedic, and then from something, you know, Vedic or something, then maybe we can bring him slowly, slowly across. But the problem is since we just see it as Ganesh, they're not getting any benefit at all. You know, other than exercising their lungs and, you know, abdominal muscles or diaphragm is getting some exercise and stuff like that. They're burning up some calories. But other than that, they're getting zero benefit. So even though we go, oh, we did kirtan, They really liked it, but they got no benefit. You know, they could have been out at a rave and gotten the same benefit. You know, so the point is they're not even according to what Vedanta Sutra is saying, seeing, understanding that potency of Ganesh is, so therefore they're seeing the Lord, so they're not going to get any benefit. But if they did see like that, they would have no problem using the Maha Mantra. You know, why use these others when this is so much more direct? Right, because every syllable is directly the Lord, but in the Ganesh Mantra, only parts of it is, then you're dealing with his potencies. Like that. So then, you know, even if you did see it in that, the potency would be greater in the Maha Mantra. Yes?
So, at what level are, like it says, not to blaspheme literatures that are in pursuance of the Vedic version, at one point is it considered a literature that's in pursuance of the Vedic version? Like, is it has to say?
It's not, but is it in pursuance of the Vedic version?
Well, like the Bible, for example.
But is it in pursuance of the Vedic version?
But
by the modern context, do they consider it in pursuance of the Vedic version?
No,
it's its own version. Because the Bible, it was put together by who?
I don't know.
Means, if you're talking about the Torah, now that was given by the Lord. But then after that, that is the... how you could say, the Jesus Lilamrita as put together by Paul. Right? You understand? And in that, then, how much is taken is only kind of what he is cool about, because it doesn't talk about all the Judaic stuff. Because his point was to drop all the Jewish stuff. Right? Because, see, how you say, Israel is on the east of the Mediterranean, while Rome is on the west, and he preferred the west. So he was westernizing Judaism by dropping the culture. Right? You understand? So, you know, it's a standard mundane approach like that. And so then it wasn't in pursuance of the Vedic version. It wasn't even properly in pursuance of what Jesus' teachings were. He has an appreciation for, but he only wants to appreciate Jesus in the context of his Roman culture and values. He doesn't want to give that up, right? It means you spend that much money and work that hard to become, you're Jewish and you're recognized as a Roman citizen. You're not going to give that up easily, right? And so that material attachment, he has adjusted it. Now you can say, well, it's very successful because it's the largest religion in the world. But the common man on the street who says he's Christian, does he go to church? Does he do anything that identifies him as a Christian? Right? He wears pants and a shirt. That's Christian? What is it? Because you see all the people, you know what I'm saying? So what does he do? He doesn't do anything. It's watered down so much, other than the word, I'm a Christian, there's nothing else to identify him. And how often does he say he's a Christian? Once every many, many, many years? So that's in his lifetime he gets in, 5 seconds of Christianity. You know what I'm saying? So what's the point?
That's how he relates himself to the religion.
Yeah.
Because he sometimes says, I am a Christian.
Yeah, that's it. That's as far as it goes. So the point is you can say, but is that actually the purpose? Right? Now, we ourselves, because it's about the idea of elevating oneself, and because it's about, it means that the whole thing is in context of Jesus, so therefore him being one of the resident personified Vedas and all that, then what he speaks we understand is Veda. But how it's interpreted and applied, that's a whole nother thing. But the point is we don't have any problem accepting it as literature that is based on transcendental subject matter. But the point is that we don't need it to establish transcendence. In other words, we don't preach using the Bible. If someone asks us about a passage, we can explain it according to Vedanta. But Vedanta stands on its own. In other words, the Veda, being the original, doesn't need these other aspects. You know what I'm saying? So it's in. You can say from that, but you have to be very, very careful in it. You know, in other words, due to our own attachment, we shouldn't fall back on that. Because we see there have been people in the movement who've done that. You know, I really don't know what fez hats have to do with Christianity. but they ended up in that way, maybe because it looked cool, or I'm not sure, but they don't wear them in Israel. No, they don't. Moses never wore a fez hat. Even Jesus didn't wear a fez hat. None of the apostles wore a fez hat. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
what's a fez hat? I'm sorry.
Fez hat. It's a hat that's a little smaller at the bottom. It's like a cone. Smaller at the bottom, goes up towards the top, it's cut off. Yeah. And then you have a little tassel sticking off one side.
Oh, yeah, like the Knights of Columbus.
The Muslims wear them.
The Muslims wear them in Turkey and stuff. The Turks wear them. But somehow or another, our Christian-attached devotee who applied those principles of removing the Vedic, and then they wore fez hats. How that works, I have no idea. And how that's being broad-minded, it's like, who wears fez hats? Right? You know? I've never seen anyone wearing one. I've seen pictures of people wearing them, but in my day-to-day life, I never bumped into anyone wearing one.
The Knights of Columbus, within the Roman Catholic Church, fraternal...
They wear them.
They wear them.
Oh, okay. So then there is some connection. So one out of 212 aspects of Catholicism, and like that.
What about like the situation with Saint Francis? Like, he was teaching from the teachings of Christianity, the Bible, but Prabhupada said that he was that prayer of Saint Francis is. I remember reading somewhere that it was like on the level of the gopis.
Okay, nice. But that...
They like making the instrument of their peace, is that what you mean?
Yeah, but I'm saying, what's the point that you're getting to? Because we can go on all day about this. You know, it's like a... the common guy, he's in prison for murder, and he has, 473, life sentences, okay? And when he eats, he picks up food and puts it in his mouth, chews it, swallows it, and Vaishvanara, that. So is he a great yogi? Is he a great spiritual? I mean, where are we going with this? You know what I'm saying? Because like this, we could talk all day as points of interest. But what's your purpose in bringing up these points? Because if it's just points of interest, we'll move on. Because if you want points of interest, that's what that's what Wikipedia is for, or Ripley's Believe It or Not, or the Guinness Book of World Records, or those are points of interest. You know.
I suppose it could be just some lingering, some kind of like attachments to.
Yes, and the point is. What if we went to some lingering attachment? Okay, was he married? Did he have a wife? No, he had a girlfriend from before who, because of her attachment to him and appreciation, became a nun. But when she tried to interact with him on a spiritual platform, he wouldn't deal with it. He lived in a run-down old place that was falling apart. He didn't care about what he wore or anything. So are you going to go that line? You could take those things from him, but then those things are already given to us by the Goswamis. You know, instead of an old run-down church, they just sat under a tree. Right? They thought he was crazy for the run-down church. Imagine if he sat under a tree, what would have happened? Right? You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, what I'm saying is whatever is of value in all these others is already here. You can see and appreciate that here's people who are trying for self-realization and by that are getting benefit. You know? And people who appreciate what they've done are getting benefit. But the point is it already has its original in the Vedic literature and the followers of the Vedic, so you don't have to go there. It's something more, but it's not that because that's there that confirms the Vedas. No, the Vedas confirm that. You understand? You have to know which way it runs. Right? Okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.139. One should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams. One must concentrate the mind on him, the only all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be misled and will cause his own degradation. Right? So this is then the point we were just discussing. 4. The purport says, Sukadeva Goswami tries to impress upon us that instead of diverting our attention to several branches of self-realization, we should concentrate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the supreme object of realization, worship, and devotion. Right? So instead of diverting ourselves to these other branches of self-realization, then we should concentrate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because these others is that, oh, he has here and it's this and that. But the point is, okay, then what is, if we take Francis, what's his description of the Lord? Right? So he can't take it that far. He has that feeling, that sentiment. But a full description won't be there. So therefore, we don't divert ourselves to these other branches, but we stick to the direct. You know, like that. That's the whole point. There is examples here and there, but then if you follow the example, at some point it gets weak. You know? Does that make sense? You know. So that's why then.
And most people can't.
Yes. Yeah. It means they wouldn't follow anyway. So therefore you stick to something that works very nicely. This is what's recommended. And why are they getting benefit? Because they're doing what's recommended. So why take that? You go from there, because you can say parampara, but there's not a direct connection. It's not that we can see here. Who he was in his last life, then there may be a connection. And then somehow or another something's wrong that he ended up out there, wherever he ended up. You know, I think it was Assisi, right? Yeah. Right. So makes sense. Yeah.
He's serving a purpose. It's not that he necessarily can...
No, but the thing is whether he even knows that purpose is another thing. You know what I'm saying? Someone like Jesus, he knows the whole thing, but whether Francis knows or not is another thing. That we can't say. Okay. Sutra 1229. Sakshad apyavirodham jayaminihi. Sakshat, directly, api, also, avidodham, without contradiction, jaiminihi, jaimini. According to jaimini, there is no contradiction in saying that Vaishvanara is Agni, because the etymological meaning of the two words is the same. Sutra Prakashika. According to jaimini and others, the word Agni, like the word Vaishvanara, primarily denotes Vishnu. That is explained in the sutra. Sri Govindabhashya. Vaishvanara means he who is the shelter of all men. Because he is the leader, Nara, of all beings in the universe, Vishva. Or because he is the cause of everything. Similarly, Agni means Vishnu. Etymologically, it means he who leads in front. Agre Nayati. Thus, there is no contradiction in saying Vaishvanara is Agni, because the meaning depends on the particular qualities expressed by the words. This is the opinion of Jaimini, right? So the qualities expressed are qualities of Vishnu. So to say that the Lord is Agni, then there's no problem. Right? It's not that Agni is the Lord is Agni. Right? So you have to understand in the logic, it's going one way, not the other way. So if it's going the other way, it's talking about what's previous. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes.
How many people left on the Earth planet who are actually arguing about these words, just out of curiosity?
I'm sure that there's quite a few. I'm sure that there's, you know, that actually could describe and all that. There's probably, I would think, you know, good volumes. I would say probably there's more in that than there are theologians in the Western, you know.
So here in India, these arguments about these words and what they mean is still going on?
Yes, but it's just we may not bump into them. I mean, it's like we land in the Calcutta airport, we come out, we get a barrage of taxi drivers, then we get into our particular taxi, and then we see all kinds of insanity on the road, but we're not technically in contact with it because of the car. Then we get here to Mayapur, we get out of the vehicle, and then we move around, except for those we bump into who are pilgrims, then, or, you know, the people who are cleaning the guest house. We're not going to actually see But if you go to Varanasi and other places like that, or you know, they can discuss these things in Sanskrit. So actually practicing Brahmins and scholars and all these things, it's very much alive and well. It's just not popular. Since India, how you say, became a fan of Star TV, then they've kind of shifted their focus. But before that, then, you know, these would have been more prominent. You know, people that, you know, can discuss these things, they are giving programs all over India all the time, and they're attended by, you know, so many thousands and thousands of people. But whether they speak on this level, generally they won't. They'll only speak amongst themselves. And to the people, then they'll speak in a more general. But it's not that they can't discuss this. Right? They're there. But they're you know, with time getting less and less. That is definitely there.
Could you give a number? 100,000? 10,000?
I would say probably, you know, easily hundreds of thousands or something, I would think. You know.
Is it also to destroy these tendencies within ourselves?
That's the main thing. It's why we're going through it, is then we see the fine points of how we make these connections. Oh, because this connects to, therefore, it's just to say, you know, so therefore we're worshipping those who worship Vaishvana. Now, what is it? He's manifesting a particular potencies of Vishnu, but it's not that the full aspects are being manifest in that particular form. But because of attachment, then we're discussing Francis of Assisi, who may be manifesting a certain qualities that you might see in the Goswamis and other great Vaishnavas. But it's not actually in its full form. It's not in its original form. But because of attachment, we're keeping that. So we have to be able to make the distinction so we actually understand is that, yes, that position is glorious because of what's behind it. Because of its origin, not that it itself is the complete gloriousness. You understand? So like that, then we have so many attachments ourselves. And because of this, then we make the mistakes on thinking that, no, because I'm doing this, since it's not about the secondary aspects, it's about the devotion to Krishna, therefore I do not need to manifest any symptoms of that devotion because it's secondary. And so therefore, since secondary is there, I'm already living in a particularly secondary environment, and so I will continue with that secondary environment. But the primary, which is the devotion to Krishna, you will see no symptoms of, because it doesn't matter. And that is a popular philosophy, you know, in our society that thousands follow. But they don't understand. It's not supported by the Vedanta Sutra. It's actually a total misunderstanding of what's Krishna consciousness. But because of its being intellectually presented, you know, then it appears, oh, this is something very, very, yes, this is solid, this has substance. Like we keep, you know, in the class, it keeps being brought up because somebody talks to other people and then they bring up, no, but what about, because they're on the fence. So we keep hearing directly from that line, even here in the class now and again. Does that make sense? So these subtleties, these are for eliminating anything that is opposed to devotional service, pure devotional service. So this may be a very technical form, but its technical form comes down to practical use in our life, like that. Just that you'll see that when the Bhagavatam presents it, it's much more accessible. That's why then we're giving the sutra, because that's, as Prabhupada says, that's the natural commentary. And so it's much easier to see its application in our life. But we see technically, because that includes the mind, the senses, and everything else. This just is using the intellect. But we see it has a very natural, simplicity to it. You know, because it's just intellect. It doesn't take into consideration the mind and other than those who are opposing it. But the presentation is just very, very simple and straightforward. You know, the words say this, the context says this, in another place it says this. You know, it doesn't get into big complicated like the Mayavadis do. It's just very simple, because it's just because it's pure intelligence. Right? What the Mayavadis are saying, they're using intelligence, but from the basis of the mind. So from the position of mind, then they're using intelligence and coming up with very complex. So we're doing it, but without the mind, not the material mind, the spiritual mind. So therefore I feel so clean and simple, while theirs is so intellectually complicated. Like that. Does that make sense? It's also, I think, one of the things Prabhupada said was, you know, one of his future projects. After he finished the Bhagavatam, it was one of his one of his projects. I think that, Vishnu Purana, Ramayana. So there was a few, but Vedanta Sutra is one of them.
So. It reminds me very much about the Bihad Bhagavatamita, the discussions in Satyaloka between the sages.
Okay, yes, it's like this, yeah. Also, in the Krishna book, the prayers of the personified Vedas, they talk all these things, and most of it's all about defeating Mayavad philosophy. Most all of the positions they say. It means you see it from the point of the devotion, but it also then Prabhupada and his comments will always be defeating. So all these examples that are given are all used there. Because so that being the original, then that's what's, you know, the Upanishads will be discussing.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.